Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. We're turning to Jude. We're almost finished with this wee book. The verse 24. The last verse but one. Verse 24. And it reads, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." You know, boys and girls, my preparation for speaking to you has always been a blessing to me. It makes me read the verses that I'm going to speak on very carefully. I end up seeing things that perhaps previously I hadn't seen. It's a bit like the earth. Beneath the surface of the earth are many things that we don't see. But were we to investigate, we'd find treasure. You think of the things that come up out of the earth and which bless us in our daily life. All our food, you know. All our food comes from the earth. All comes from the earth. I have always marveled that what we eat started off as soil. That's everything that grows obtains its life and substance from the dirt of the ground. Then that's not surprising, since when God made man, he made him out of a handful of dust. And not only our food, but our treasures. But we'll not pursue that any further, because that's just a thought that has come into my heart, even as I'm beginning our study. Let's look at this verse 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." The very first word of that verse is very suggestive. It indicates that Jude is coming to an end of his epistle. We use the same word in conversation. You mightn't realize it. When it comes to the end of school and you're chattering with your friend, perhaps a horn of a car blows out there in the car park and it's mum or dad letting you know they're waiting. So you have to say to your friend, "Oh, now I have to go." And that's how you end the chattering and the conversation you have been having. And we do that all the time. People on the street talking together. One of them realizes that time is passing and they say, "Oh, now I have to go. I'm expected at home," or something like that. And that's the same here with Jude. He's saying, "Now I'm coming to an end." And he's coming to the end of this lovely epistle. And the first thing I want you to notice is that as Jude started his epistle, so he ends it, he hasn't changed or altered his theme, his subject. He hasn't drifted away from what he started to say. But at the end of his epistle, that which is related to the beginning. Notice the first words then of verse 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." You see, Jude's epistle is all about falling. Christians in danger of falling away from faith in the Bible, in the Word of God. Jude is warning of an attack of the devil and his agents who want to cause them to fall away, turn back from God's truth. That's what is to be found at the beginning of this epistle. Look at the verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." For here's the reason why you have to fight. Certain men are crept in unawares, and they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God. That's what faced them, and they were in danger of falling. If you're saved this morning, there's always a danger of falling. A certain little girl came to me this morning and held up her knee and said, "Oh, look," she had fallen. But then yous are doing that all the time. As I watch from my kitchen window down on the playground, I see people standing on their head constantly, tripping and falling. That is inevitable in life, but it's also inevitable spiritually speaking. But Jude wants them to understand something. God is able to keep you from falling. We ought to ever keep him before our eyes. That's what helps you to avoid falling. You've heard the shout, I'm sure, when you've been out with Mum, Dad, watch where you're going! But sometimes we gallop about and we don't look where we're going. And the next thing, we're lying down on the ground. We've fallen. Well, if the Christian looks where they're going by keeping their eyes on the Lord, they'll not fall. David said this, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. He kept his eyes on the Lord. He learned that from his sheep, in that when he as a shepherd went before them, the sheep kept their eyes on him. Where he went, they went. Oh, the animals can teach us. The animals can teach us. Then again, consider the title Jude gives to the Lord. Him that is able to keep you from falling. I'm sure that Jude was very conscious of the fact that he had just issued a very stern warning of a great danger. And as you look down the epistle, he shows how God's people in the past, time and time and time and time again, tripped and fell. And Jude's conscious, what I have just told the people to whom I'm writing about the threat of the devil, maybe that will discourage them. Maybe they'll feel we can't win. Maybe they'll feel there's not a chance of us surviving. The devil's against us. Our own sinful heart is against us. He's conscious of that. And so he says, let me tell you, the Lord is able to keep you from falling. We're in great danger here in this world. In fact, the great C.H. Spurgeon, you've heard of him, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great Baptist preacher in London back in the late 1800s. He was a wonderful man of God, started out very young, but he had some wonderful sayings, and he compared a Christian living in this world, faced by all the dangers and threats that the devil can hurl at you. He said, we're like a candle burning in the depths of the sea. Well, now you say that's not possible. As soon as you would put a burning candle in under the water, it would go out. Yes, that's what would happen naturally. C.H. Spurgeon was right in saying the Christian in this world is like a candle burning in the depths of the sea. Unnatural. It could only happen by the power of God. And Christians in this world are kept from falling, made to burn in the midst of the ocean by the power of God. That's what he's pointing out here. Oh, how wonderful. That word falling means to stumble, the way you catch your foot on something and if you don't fall, you very nearly do. Well, in this world, there's constantly something that the devil uses to try and trip you up, but God is able to keep us from falling. That word keep, now unto him who is able to keep. David was a keeper of the sheep, wasn't he? And in performing that duty, he was ever watchful of them. His eye was on the flock. Every individual member of that flock, he was watching for them. And that's what the Lord does. You mightn't think of it, but he's watching you. God's eye is on you. Teachers watch the class, don't they? And sometimes we think we're not being watched and we try to do something and the next thing we hear is our name called out. The teacher has spotted what we were up to. Well, in a much more wonderful way, God is watching. And boys and girls, let me tell you, God looks on you as if there was no one else. You get his full attention. Now, teachers can't do that. Teachers give attention to the whole class. And of course, while they're looking over there, they can't just altogether see what's happening over here. But that's not so with God. There's nothing hidden from his eyes. And it's a wonderful thing that God looks on you as if you were the only one that belongs to him. If you're saved, I hope you are saved today. Yes, the Lord is able to keep us. He stands guard over us. Then look at something else. Look at what awaits the Christian. Look at what is ahead for the Christian. Do you ever think of that? You think of 3:30 here today, don't you? Getting home, getting out of school. You think of that. Many times you long for that. I'm sure there's a clock in your classroom and you take a wee look at it to see how the hands are progressing. Well, listen, here's what's waiting for you if you're saved. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. To present you. Every so often when I search the news, I see someone being presented to the king or one of the royal household. And they stand very properly before that royal personage, and someone who is a servant of the king or the royal household presents them and said, "This is so-and-so, your majesty." Well, look, the Lord is going to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. That's what lies ahead of you. Are you saved this morning? This ought to thrill you, more than thrill you. This is what is ahead of us. The word present indicates the glory that awaits the Christian. At the end of term, we have a meeting in the new term, usually, when prizes are presented and you're brought forward and you're given a prize. Well, there's a prize giving awaiting us in heaven when we shall be presented before the presence of the Lord. You know, there's a wonderful picture of what this means. I looked up this word, present. You know that the New Testament was written in the Greek language and then translated into English for us. And the word that is underneath this word, present, appears in Matthew chapter 2 and the verse 9. And it refers to the star that led the wise men to the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, and we read there in verse 9 of this event. When they had heard the king, that's the wise men, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, stood is the same word as the Greek word is translated in our text, present. This star had been their guide all the way from the east, and finally it reaches the place where they wanted to go, where the king lay, and stopped over where the Saviour was. And it was as if the star said, "There you are. I present to you the king." The star was like that royal servant who brings a person who is being presented to the king or the prince. That's what the star did. It brought the wise men to where Jesus was. I think that's a wonderful picture of what will happen to the Christian. We're going to be led by the star of God's word right into the presence of the Lord, and we'll be presented there. Think of that. You presented before the Lord. I thought too of what is said in Daniel chapter 12, you older ones, do look it up. Daniel chapter 12, the verse 3. And it says, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." That's what a Christian is described as. They're wise. And being wise, they point others to the Lord Jesus, to righteousness. And as a result, they're going to shine forever. It's not like the Star of Bethlehem. It led the wise men from a heathen land right to where Jesus was and presented the Saviour to them. And one day, if you're a faithful Christian, if you really love the Lord, you're going to be brought to heaven. And there you will forever shine as a star. Oh, the parallels are wonderful, boys and girls. It's a day when it says we will be faultless. Look at the verse again. Verse 24. And to present you faultless. You're not without fault now. Sometimes I have to look at you and raise my eyebrows and indicate you're not just listening properly. And throughout the day you will get pulled up, checked, because you're drifting into doing that which is wrong, being faulty. But one day, we will be faultless. Faultless. I'm not going to take much time in saying this, but this word faultless is translated in 7 different places by different expressions. Let me rattle them out to you. It's translated in Ephesians 1:4 as without blame. In Ephesians 5:27, without blemish. In Colossians 1:22, unblameable. Hebrews 9:14, without spot. 1 Peter 1:19, again, this the phrase, without blemish. That's speaking of the Lord in this occasion. He was without blemish. We're going to be like him. We're going to be like him. And then in Revelation 14:5, without fault. Now, all these different expressions indicates that God is striving to tell you how perfect you're going to be when God's finished with you and brings you to heaven. You're going to be without spot or wrinkle. What a wonderful thing is this. Faultless. Faultless. That surely gives us something to hope for and look forward to. But there's something else. That which the most godly men and women in days gone by could never have, though they wanted to have it, one day we're going to have it. What Moses couldn't have, we one day will have. Look at the verse. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. You remember what Moses said when he was up the mountain? He said what every true Christian has a desire for. He said, Lord, show me thy glory. Oh, let me see your glory. And God said in answer to that, you can't, Moses. I can't allow you to look upon my glory because it is so wonderful it would kill you. Have you ever heard of an eclipse of the sun? You have? People are told it's going to happen at such and such a time. But then it always issues a warning. Any of you old ones know what the warning is? No? You'll think of it as soon as I tell you. The warning is, don't look at the sun without putting something between you and it that cuts down the brightness. And consequently, when there is an eclipse of the sun, there's always pictures of people and they're all looking up through something that cuts down the brightness of the sun. Do you know why? Because if you were to look at the sun in its brightness, it would blind you. You know that. You only have, on a bright sunny day, perhaps we don't have too many of them, but on a bright sunny day, if you look up at the sun, you'd have to turn your head away immediately. And were you silly enough to keep looking at it, it would blind you, such is its power. Well, that's a picture of what the Lord is saying to Moses. You can't look at me in my glory. You're not able to do it. You're not able to cope with such a vision. But one day, we will be presented before the presence of God's glory. Boys and girls, we're going to see the Lord face to face. Think of that. You're going to see the Lord face to face. If you're saved, I have to always add that. Revelation 22, verse 3 says that. We shall see the glory of the Lord looking upon him face to face. That's how close you'll be to the Lord. Oftentimes we feel we've drifted away from the Lord. We're not enjoying his presence. But in heaven, face to face. One last thing. There's one little word in this verse which describes the eternal experience that awaits us. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The last word of the verse. We began thinking of the first word of the verse. We'll end thinking of the last word in the verse. Joy. That's what awaits the people of God. You know, boys and girls, there is little joy in this world. The dance hall advertises joy. The pub advertises joy. Every place of entertainment, joy. But it doesn't give it. It doesn't give it. What it does give is a very short-lived thrill. I was thinking of this as we sang our opening hymn. Here's what he says in verse 4, the great Robert Murray McShane. Off I walk beneath a cloud, dark as midnight's gloomy shroud. the godly man, a unique man, and yet he had days of sorrow, misery. And that's common to us all. Just like the weather. The sun was shining when I came down here, but I'd say before too long there'll come a cloud and it will pass between us and the sun, and the sunshine in its brightness will stop while the cloud's there. Well, that's what life is like. But boys and girls, there's a day of joy coming. There's a day of joy. Good old Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Holy man. But oh, what sorrow we had to bear in that day of apostasy and rebellion against God. There was much to make him sad. But Jeremiah is now in the presence of the Lord and he's experiencing joy. You'll notice that the joy that awaits the child of God is exceeding joy. What times of happiness we have in this earth are short-lived. I hear you laughing many times while you're out playing at break time. And were I to listen at the door of the classroom, I'm sure I'd hear an occasional laugh from in there. But we know with oftentimes the tears are flowing. Laughter does not last very long, and that's the experience of us all. Yes, there are times our mouth is filled with laughter and our tongue with singing, but oftentimes there's tears. But in heaven, exceeding joy. If you hold a cup beneath the tap, turn it on and watch it filling up. If you don't turn the tap off, it's running out over the cup. That's exceeding the capabilities of the cup to contain the amount of water that's coming into it. And our joy will be overflowing, overflowing. One last thing, our joy is everlasting, endless. As I said, joy here is but for a short time, but joy in heaven, like all things in heaven, there's no end. Isaiah 45:17 speaks of the world without end. No end to heaven. It goes on forever, on forever. One question in closing, boys and girls. Have you obeyed the gospel? The Lord Jesus says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, possesses, there and then, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But you cannot know everlasting life. You cannot know everlasting joy. You cannot know everlasting heaven if you have not obeyed the gospel. Each one of you today, have you believed the gospel? Are you hearing me? I'm asking you the most vital question that will ever be asked. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior? I hope you have. Let's bow in prayer as we close our study. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, for the joy that awaits everyone who is saved. May the boys and girls today understand it. Bless our school. Undertake for it in every matter. I do trust, Lord, that all that concerns our school, its pupils and its teachers, its parents, will know God's blessing today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.